Did talk last year. We haven't seen the talk last year. Go watch it on the archive tomorrow. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Our names are Kirk, and I'm Daniel Fernandez, Kirk Smith. And we are going to give this talk about scaling up open source batteries. So we created an organization called the Flow Battery Research Collective, which our objective is to create the first set of open source batteries for small and large scale. So this is us. This is like one of the first, well, we're doing one of the first demonstrations of our kits at a university in the Netherlands. So why do we want to do open source energy storage? You know, there are no open source energy storage solutions that we know of. So if you go and look for an open source battery, you won't find anything available. If you wanted to like create your own battery from raw materials, you would have to figure out from like all the patents and the textbooks and everything how to make it up yourself. There is no set of instructions of how to do this. This task is not trivial. Battery technologies are complicated, and having no blueprint means that you need to spend a lot of time and work doing it, which many people have tried through the years. But if we just have a cohesive open source strategy, then we can be much more effective. And yeah, well, basically, there is currently no clear path to create rechargeable energy storage from raw materials. We don't have that. And an open source alternative would improve, you know, our energy independence, and it will also enhance industrial development, because now we cannot develop the same thing 20 times, as it has happened in batteries many, many times. You know, a company starts creating some type of battery and they fail, and they spent 20 years and have 2,000 patents, and now all that's gone. So we should only do it once, you know. And this will also, you know, increase energy storage access in developing countries, because now they can sort of like start from scratch, even if they only have the raw materials. Our goals with this: we want to do open source licensing. So we want to create the technology blueprints that anybody can use. And we don't want to sell this technology at all. We want everybody to be able to use it. And we hope to be able to, you know, maybe make some money from selling parts that we manufacture, while still allowing anybody who wants to manufacture them to also do that and improve them. We want to do medium and large scale storage, because that's where the usefulness of this is. And we want to do this with low material costs. We don't want to do like an open source lithium ion battery that requires nitrogen atmosphere manufacturing and very complex manufacturing procedures. We want to do low material costs so that anybody can reasonably build their own battery. We also want this to be a highly reliable process. We don't want this to be a battery that you build and then the next person who tries to build it has huge problems building it. We want this to be very highly reliable. And of course, we want high material availability. We don't want to focus on materials that are very hard to source or in very specific regions of the world. We want materials that anybody anywhere could reasonably source. And an important part of this is we want there to be openly available characterization of this, so that you can build your battery and then there's a set of tests that you can run to make sure that you build it properly and that it is doing what it's supposed to do. And this is also in line with open source characterization software and hardware. So not only the battery is important, but how are you going to test it? How are you going to figure out that it's charging and discharging at the proper capacities, has the proper lifetimes, etc.? This is the first thing that we built, which is we started working on a technology called a flow battery, which is a technology that is considered ideal for large scales. In a traditional battery, your energy storage is restricted to the materials you have inside the battery. In this case, the energy storage is externalized to liquids, such that you can decouple the power density of the battery from the capacity of the battery, so that we can have a lot of capacity without having like a huge cell. And this is a small, you know, tabletop battery. And the idea of this is obviously not to store energy. The pumps consume way more energy than the battery generates. But the idea is that in academia, there is no such, there is still not a standardized small scale setup that is open source and low cost that includes everything that you need in the setup.
You mentioned that it's safe to touch.
Yeah. We are going to pass the our battery kit, and that's safe to touch. It hasn't touched any chemicals yet. But so that you can see, it has, that thing has everything the battery needs, which most of the open source kits or the open source approaches to flow batteries don't have. It has the pumps, it has the pump controls, it has the reservoirs, it has all these tiny little things. Because when we started building a battery, we realized, hey, it's not only like this thing in the middle, which is the cell, it's like the tubing, the reservoirs, everything. Like that tubing took us like 30 tries of different tubings to find, because it turns out that, you know, energy dense things like to react with other things. So, you know, and this is tested, we've tested this at our homes, so it's been, you know, interesting. So the first chemistry we tested, and the idea of this small benchtop, cell is to help us characterize chemistries and figure out what we can do reproducibly. We started testing this zinc iodine chemistry, which we can do quite stable cycling, and we can get good energy performance. We can basically reproduce a lot of the things that we see in the scientific literature surrounding these batteries. And zinc iodide is a very reversible, very nice chemistry for the most part, except when it forms solid iodide and it sort of doesn't really explode, but you know, like the tubing can splash and things like that if you're not careful. So it took a bunch of work to figure this out and to get like stable charge discharge curves and efficiencies, but the cost of the zinc iodide materials is quite large. You know, it's $80 per kilowatt hour, which doesn't sound like too bad, but this is only for chemicals. Like, it doesn't account for any of the hardware that you're seeing. It's just the chemical species, because iodine turns out is not as available as we think. It is in the sea, so it is there, but it's very dilute, and then it is basically produced in very specific regions in the world. The EU doesn't produce any at all that I know of, definitely not on an industrial scale. So if you use the technology like this, you would suddenly become dependent on this material. So we've tried other things that are more easily accessible. So iron is widely available in the world. Iron is widely available in the EU, so it would be very easy to get iron in the EU mines a lot of iron. And we can do iron-based chemistry, which basically we use iron in both sides of the battery, and in one side we oxidize the iron, in the other one we reduce it, and we're basically doing a battery that's based sort of on like rust. It's, we are oxidizing and reducing iron, and we are able to get charge storage. This is a complicated chemistry, and we are just studying it, and we've had some pretty good results, but the price is quite low. The price is now, you know, $30 per kilowatt hour for the materials. But if you look at the energy density, the capacity here, it is like 14 on the zinc iodide here, although we have been able to get this significantly higher. But then for this iron, it's like 4 is like all we've been able to get like in a stable way. And there's challenges. But now that we have this small kit, anybody can do it, you know. You can. All of you could like either build the kits yourselves from 3D printed parts, machined parts. You can go to our website, fbrc.dev, and look at the materials, build it yourself, and then you can test things and see what happens. And we have a forum. And just be safe. And then we said, okay, let's do the next step. Let's try to scale this up, because this thing here is just like 2 square centimeters of area, very small. Now we want to do way more, you know, because we want to store some real power. So let's make this bigger. So we did this larger cell, and we used wood for the end plate material. Turns out it's much cheaper than metal. So this was our first try at a large scale cell. We liked that it had like this steampunky look. It's very and basically the idea of this cell is that you don't only have like a single cell like in the beginning, but this is actually a stack. So we have multiple cells that are stacked together. Because the voltage of these reactions, the voltage that you get from these batteries is low. You get like 1.2, 0.9 volts. And then you need to stack them in series to get meaningful voltages. So our idea is to build these stacks so that we can get, our goal is to get a stack that we can get 12 volts at, or 24, so that we can couple these with like the, you know, solar technologies and things like that. Now, we then also wanted to look at static technologies, not only like your flow battery technologies, but also see, hey, can we do anything on the static side? That, because there is also no open source static sites. Although these static batteries have been studied for 200 years, there's no like open source lead acid battery or anything like that. So we started looking, and we found this copper manganese chemistry that has been developed. And we said, well, this sounds pretty interesting. Let's test it out. There's patents for these several. So it was like, OK, how can we change this so that it's not infringing on these patents? And then we found this, instead of using sulfuric acid, we decided to test a chemistry with methane sulfonic acid, which is a similar acid, but it's not the same acid. So it's not, so it's not covered by their IP, allegedly, I believe. It's my personal opinion. No lawyer here. And we tested this with carbon felt and graphoil electrodes. And this is basically just copper and manganese. And we do this reaction in acid that you have here at the bottom. And this is very simple. You just have a carbon material, a solution, and then the electrodes to extract it. And we actually get pretty good energy densities that are comparable with those of lead acid batteries and pretty much similar to the results that you find in the scientific literature for the sulfuric acid side of these batteries. And the good thing about these batteries is that the electrolyte is such low cost. It's only $18 to $16 per kilowatt hour. So this is like really cheap. And it's like, hey, well, maybe I could like build this in my backyard. Like, don't. But it's like, yeah, maybe this is, we can do this. And then we started looking, hey, what if we wanted to build like a biggish thing, you know, what would that look like? Well, turns out that the devil is in the details, surprisingly. So while the chemicals are very cheap, the materials are really not. Contrary to a flow battery, in a flow battery, we have these big tanks, and then the areas that where we are extracting charge are quite like small. But here in a normal battery, we need like bigger electrodes. And it turns out that the carbon felt material, which is like the material where we deposit and we extract things from, is actually very expensive. It's like, if we did this, it would be, it doesn't show?
It needs to reflect the, yeah, no.
No, okay. Yeah, so it's actually $310 per kilowatt hour when you take into account like how expensive all these materials are. And the fact that you have like, this was with like all materials we could buy, but turns out that bulk metal, like if we have big metal plates and graphite plates, these are expensive as well. You can see all of these costs is just like things that go in there that are not playing into the energy at all. They are just the current collecting and the conductive materials. So we think, for comparison, a lithium iron phosphate battery is $60 to $80 per kilowatt hour. Like those things are really, really cheap. But I bet you cannot build one of those at home, you know. And then, so we say, what can we use a material that is less expensive? You know, so we started looking for what's the cheapest conductive material you can get. And it turns out there's something called calcined petroleum coke. And that's like, they give it away. That's like an industrial waste product almost. And then we think we can make paste with this, and if we do some little bit of magic with the way we collect current, we think we can get this down to $55 per kilowatt hour. Dreaming right now if we can do this. We think we should be able to, but it's one of our next steps is to actually build one of these static batteries using this sort of process with these materials and see if we can, figure it out. So what's our plan right now? We want to continue test and validate the large cell that you see there, and we want to create the 12-volt stack and give people a blueprint of hey, you can build an open source stack. Stacks, there's no open source stacks. There's a bunch of small scale cells that you can build for our lab scale cell. There's a few open source projects for that. No open source projects on stacks, because industry normally finances academics, and when people get to the stack level, industry says, no, the stack is not open source. The stack is for us. And then they all go bankrupt, and then the stack is for no one. So stacks have been developed many times, independently, many times in industry. So we're just going to do it once. And then we want to produce stable charge and discharge curves with the large flow cell. The large flow cell has been challenging because it turns out that if you have something large, making it not leak is harder. So there's been, we've had some challenges with the entire design, and we have been made a lot of progress, and we are about to start doing cycling testing with our large scale cell, and we hope we can get stable charge and discharge curves, because we want to give you guys something figuratively that you can just use and reproduce, and get some results. And then we would want to do a 1 kilowatt hour stacked flow battery, because that is useful energy. Once you get to the kilowatt hour scale, it's working, it's no longer a toy. It's no longer an academic exercise. So we want to get there with the zinc iodine chemistry, which is the one we have the most trust on. And then we want to continue validating this iron chemistry that I showed you at a small scale, because it's not ready for the big scale at all. We want to continue testing. But now that we have the small kit, hopefully we can have our community test this. Our kit, our small scale kit, has already been reproduced at least 3 times that we know of independently, not by us at all, which means that the design is manufacturable by independent people. And then we want to test a small scale petroleum coke copper manganese battery and see if we can create a blueprint so that people can manufacture those electrodes and manufacture those batteries. That battery is especially interesting because if we are able to build those materials correctly, would be a faster and easier route to a larger energy storage. Especially in developing countries, these materials are very easy to get, so it would be great. And then a medium scale copper manganese battery would be our next step, which would be in the 30 to 100 watt hour range, which would be something, probably around a liter in size or a little bit more. And well, the great thing about the small scale kit is that we can now test a bunch of different chemistries that come out and try to see if the patents that come out have any holes that we can just squeeze into and get open source technologies out of them. Hopefully nobody will sue us, I'm sure. So, and last, we want to acknowledge, all the people who have made this possible, and especially, NLNet has supported us financially and has made a lot of what you see possible. They funded the creation of our small scale kit and our large scale flow battery. And hopefully we'll continue to work with them in the long term. And well, thank you very much for all your attention. And if you want to visit us, you can go to brc.dev and see our project.
Cyclability, because you tested 5 or 10 cycles.
Okay. So you ask, you ask about the cyclability of the battery, whether we can get to higher cycles than 10. The answer is yes, we can. I don't know if we can get to 10 years of cycling. So the longest I've cycled a battery has been something like 3 weeks, which has been something like 100 cycles with our zinc iodine chemistry, which worked well. But the problem is that I don't have the time to do the cycle for so long, because our battery areas are not small enough and our volumes tiny enough to cycle like very quickly. So the cycling times are longer. But the functionality of a battery is not only measured in the number of times you can cycle it back and forth, but also on the amount of time you're cycling it. You know, it's not the same to cycle a tiny battery 100 times in like an hour versus cycling a bigger battery fewer times, but like a much longer time. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't cycled it for, you know, normally we would expect a battery that can do 10 years to be cycled thousands of times. So it should be possible. Like, it should be possible. But I don't know, maybe some of you would want to test, you know, long-term cycling. Any other questions? Yeah.
You said there's no other open source batteries. I can help you if I have to talk to a Q1, but there's one that's very close to yours. I don't know if you know the Iron Battery open source project from Peter Allen.
Yeah. So you were asking about Peter Allen's project. I've seen that, yeah. He's in, it's an iron-based battery, and he's in Idaho, actually, as far as I remember. Yeah, so in static batteries, there is his project, which I think he's published 3 versions now. So I stand corrected, there is one, Peter Allen's project. Peter Allen is a great point. He's done the effort to make a battery that is reproducible and that is like validated. So yeah, a lot of credit to him. And then the efforts on YouTube that you see on zinc bromine batteries and all that, while the zinc bromine chemistry is there, and it is a reasonable battery, it is a reasonable battery chemistry. It is also a really dangerous battery chemistry. And not a really great battery. It has a lot of devils in the details. Especially bromine is extremely aggressive chemically. It will eat through everything. Like even the carbon materials, like the graphite felt and the bromine will destroy them with time. And bromine is a dangerous chemical substance. That you want to have like a 50-gallon barrel that is full of elemental bromine at your house. Like that you built yourself? Yeah, sure. But then will your neighbors want to have a 50-gallon barrel of bromine? Like, it is possible, but I think nobody has put up plans to say, okay, this is a zinc bromine battery, build it this way, these are the expected cycling results, so yeah, you could build one, but you cannot build like a standard one from open source, you know, but yeah. Great point out with Peter Allen. Thanks for reminding me.
Second question was
I have a lot of questions, but I'll try to keep it simple for now. My first one is, are you working with open source Potentio stats, and what are you using to cycle? And you touched a little bit on characterization. What are you using to characterize the batteries right now, and like, do you understand how they fail, that sort of thing?
So you ask about how we're using any open source potential stats and how we are characterizing them, basically. So we are currently using the MyStat open source potential stat, which is a great potential stat. And we use that for the cycling of the small scale battery. For the large scale, it doesn't have a high enough current rating. But we use it for all our small scale tests. The software, we don't use the MyStat software or the original software. We have heavily modified it to allow us to control pumps, to allow us to do a lot of flow battery tests. We have also done using the mice.open source potential stat, we have also done other characterization tests like cyclic voltammetries and things like that outside to characterize the chemistries.
Plate strip.
We have done plating, stripping experiments and things like that. But we really don't have the ability to do like as deep of a characterization as you would do in like industry or academia, because we cannot do things like microscopy or material analysis or things like that that would be really useful. You can do that. That's the idea. I mean, that's the idea. Like with when you have these open source initiatives, the idea is that we don't do like. If it's only the two of us, we will get nowhere. It should be like all of us, and then we can get somewhere, you know, much better. And like I have, if you build a battery and you say, hey, your battery is this design is not good. I have this better design, then we'll take it. I mean, we have no attachment to the battery.
Time is up.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.